Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Well, good evening. I wish that I could express to you how excited I've been about tonight. I appreciate so much the opportunity. It's an honor to stand here and get to bring you a message from God's Word. I want to first start out by saying how absolutely overwhelmed our family has been over the last several weeks being here in Columbia. It's amazing how many people stopped by and brought us food and just welcomed us in. And this is definitely one of those places. We've been here 2 weeks, but it feels like we've been here much longer than that. And so we are so excited about the opportunity to come and work with you in the future. And I just want to say thank you so much for your hospitality so far and just for the love that you've shown us. I want to tell you, too, as I was going through the interview process with the eldership, I hope you know what a wonderful, wonderful eldership this congregation has. I was so impressed with these men and the time they put into this process and just getting to know them. And I'm so excited to get to know them even better over the next several weeks and months. And also the opportunity to get to work with the staff that we have here. It's amazing just to get to know those guys. I've been super excited about the future with them and getting to know them, and I think it's going to be great. Upon saying that, our theme this week has been love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And what a wonderful topic. I've enjoyed it this week very much, as I'm sure you have, because anytime we try to figure out how we can love the Lord more, then we seek out a good thing, and we stand to grow very much from it. I guess my job tonight, more or less, is kind of wrap up VBS with our last topic, which would be love the Lord your God with all of your strength. And I love that topic. It's something that I've thought a lot about, something that I think about often, I guess. And Wendell had asked me a few weeks ago to come and do this, and has already stated I was not supposed to start till Monday, so I'm scared what my workload is going to be once I actually begin. But Wendell called and asked me to do this. And the only reason I could think that he would call and ask me to do this before I was supposed to start, to talk about strength, is just because of the fine specimen of strength that I am, I guess. That's the only thing I can come up with. That wasn't a joke. I want to share a story with you from my college days, though, that's going to kind of illustrate what a great specimen of strength that I really am. When I was at Lipscomb, I guess I was probably a freshman, believe it or not, I used to love to lift weights. I was big time. When I played football in high school, I hated lifting weights. But after I got out of high school, I used to love it. And probably stayed in the weight room more than I should have, much more than I spent time studying, I'm sure. And I just loved lifting weights. I never could find a partner, though, that would stick with me. So I kind of got stuck lifting by myself. I've always been a good self-motivator, and I go, and I don't really have to have people to push me. But if you've ever lifted weights a lot, you know it can be a dangerous thing to lift weights by yourself. I'll never forget one particular day. And when I finish this story, you'll know why. I went to the weight room by myself one afternoon after classes, and it was my day to bench press. I loved bench press, and it was my favorite exercise. So I go in the weight room by myself, and if you've ever lifted weights, you ever had those days where you just feel good? Everything's been going good. You feel strong. It was one of those days. I walked in, I put 135 pounds on the bar, and that was going to be my warm-up set for the day. I thought, I'm going to do this by 8 or 10 times just to get loose. So I put the weight on there, and I start just pushing reps out. Get all the way to 10 reps, I'm feeling good. I mean, feeling real good. I thought, this is going to be a good day. I'm going to enjoy this. So I put 185 pounds on the bar. Lay down, start repping it out, do 10 reps. This is going to be real good. I'm excited. I'm feeling great. I haven't felt this good in a long time. So I put 225 pounds on the bar. Now, the first time I ever did 225, for anybody that's ever been a weightlifter, that's a big milestone. You get to put two 45-pound plates on each side of the bar. It makes you feel like a man. So I put 225 on there. I lay down. I'm just going to do it 8 to 10 times. Got 10 reps. No problem. And I thought, man, this is awesome. I haven't felt this good in a long, long time. Most of the time when I'm by myself, I stop at 225. That's a good, safe place to stop. But today I was feeling so good, I thought, I can't stop here. I want to see what I can really do today. So I put 245 pounds on there. I thought it's just 20 pounds more. It's not a big deal. I won't do a whole lot. So I put 245 pounds on. I lay down, take a couple of just big, deep breaths, and I start pushing this weight out. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Ninth one's kind of tough, but I thought, I've got to get 10. I'm feeling so good that I'm going to get 10. So I brought 245 down on my chest, and with all the strength of a seventh grade girl, I push, and it goes absolutely nowhere. And so I'm sitting here in Lipscomb's weight room, laying on this bench with 245 pounds on my chest with nobody to help me. And so I start formulating this plan. And I think, okay, not a big deal. It's not hurting me too bad. Catch your breath back, and you can just lift it off of you. So I let a few seconds go by. I catch my breath, and I make just one big push, and nothing. I mean, nothing. It's not going anywhere. So I start thinking about, okay, I could try to flip it off this way, or I could roll it down my body. I just can't think of a good idea. Well, by this time, I start kind of getting mad because I'm thinking, I'm stuck here. You know, this is really embarrassing. What am I going to do? So I decide I'm just going to make this one last effort. And I'm going to get this weight off of me. It's going to be okay. It's one rep, right? I've done all this weight. I've done all these reps. I can get one rep. So I just catch my breath back. I counted three. 1, 2, 3. And I pushed with everything I had. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these two massive, powerful hands come over the top of me, and they grab this bar, rip the weight up off of me, and they rack it back. Her name was Jill. And had it not been for Jill that day, I have no idea how I was going to get that weight off of me in that weight room. You know, strength is something that we think about so often. It's something that we want to obtain so badly, it seems like. You see people, I mean, there are multi-million dollar complexes all over this world dedicated to us getting stronger, to us trying to be in better shape. And when we think about strength, that's typically what we think about. We think about muscle and just brute force. Tonight, as we get into this a little bit further, I want us to really define strength. And I want us to talk about what strength truly is. Because strength can be looked at in so many different ways. And so I want us to kind of look at that just as much as we can. Webster defines strength as the quality or state of being strong. Also, he defines it as physical power and energy. I mean, that's just what we think about. How strong are you? Somebody ever asked you that question, you know, I know when I was younger, they said, how strong are you? And I think, well, I could bench press this much. Or, you know, I'd flex my guns and say, that's how strong I am. That's not always the kind of strength, I think, that we need to look at. I want to suggest to you tonight that Jesus is giving in this commandment all the different kind of strengths that we need to think about as a Christian. And tonight I want to just go through those one by one and just talk about those and how we can strengthen these different areas of our life. First type of strength that we can possess is the strength of the heart. If you would, go ahead and flip your Bibles open to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Talking about the strength of the heart. I want to start reading in verse 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas leading men along the brethren. And they sent this letter by them. The apostles and the brethren who are elders to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia who are from the Gentiles, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number to whom we gave no instruction have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourself free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch. And having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. Think about that thought of encouraging and strengthening. The way that that letter made them, feel renewed in a way. And they want to go out and conquer. Have you ever heard the saying that, man, boy, he's just got a lot of heart. He's got a whole lot of heart in everything that he does. And what does that mean, he's got a whole lot of heart? To me, it means that you don't give up easily. You give it your all. You put everything into it. You're encouraged to the point where you just want to give everything you have towards whatever it is you're working for. Judas and Silas had encouraged them to the point that they felt revived, ready to give it their all, and ready to put their hearts into it every single step of the way. Strength of the heart. Second type of strength that we learn about is the strength of the mind. Now, I love this because I personally think that our minds are one of the most powerful things that we possess. Our minds are a tremendous thing. You think about years ago in the 40s and the 50s, runners everywhere were fascinated with the thought of being able to run a mile in under 4 minutes. I can't imagine running a mile in under 4 minutes, but that was the craze. No one had ever done it. The record was 4 minutes, 1.3 seconds to run a mile. No one believed it was even possible. A lot of people would say it'll just never be done. Oddly enough, Roger Bannister stepped to the line on May 6, 1954, of a little race one night, and he was a good runner, but had never been able to accomplish that feat. He stepped to the line this night, and he ran as hard as he could for as long as he could for the whole mile. When he crossed the finish line, the story goes that the crowd erupted when they heard the announcer just say the first part. His time was 3 minutes, and the crowd went wild. 3 minutes, 59 seconds, he ran 1 mile. It was a world record. No one had ever done it before. Now, here's the amazing thing about that. His record only stood for a matter of months before someone else did it. And then after that, it seemed like two or three or four people were doing it. And now you look today, all the top runners that you see anywhere are able to accomplish that feat. Now, that's strange to me in a way, that before he actually did it, it seemed like it was impossible. And once he was able to do it, so many other people were able to do it as well. I think it just takes us convincing in our minds that we can do something. And once we see that something is possible, it makes it easier, I think, for us to go and accomplish that. I went through a battle of my own within my mind back in April. Last year, for some reason, because I'm an idiot, I guess, I decided to sign up for the Country Music Marathon in April and to run a marathon, 26.2 miles. It seemed like a good idea at the time. And I decided I was going to run this marathon. And so I basically set a goal. I said, I'm going to run this in 3.5 hours, an 8-minute pace. Big mistake. Big mistake. I'm going to run it 3.5 hours. So I set my goal. I laid out a plan of how I was going to do that. I come up with an 18-week plan from researching on the internet. This is going to help me to run this time. And I saw the plan through from start to finish. I ran every one of the runs for 18 weeks, averaging about 45 to 50 miles a week worth of running to do this. So the morning of the marathon, April 28th of this year, I remember standing on the line and I felt good. I thought, you know, I've set a goal. I've laid out this plan. And I've done every step of it. So, you know, how could I not succeed? And so I stand on the line, and I'm telling you, the first 16 to 17 miles was just by the book. I mean, ran the times I wanted to. It was perfect. And then all of a sudden, mile 18, it was like somebody flipped a switch within my body. And my body sent this message to me and said, do anything at all in this world except what you're doing at this very moment. Stop running. Walk, sit down, crawl, but quit running. And it was torture, absolute torture. Mile 19 got even worse. Mile 20, a grown man, I'm going to tell you this, mile 20, tears began to roll down my face from the pain I was feeling in my legs. Mile 21, I really just wanted to quit. I thought about just stopping. Around mile 22, a thought crossed my mind. It was my little girl. And I remember her always telling me a little saying that she and I have. We say, you got to try, try, try. You never get up. Never give up. And I thought, what am I going to tell Keeley if I give up this race? Mile 23, I continue to run, and I'm thinking there's no way I'm going to finish. Mile 24, I begin to feel dehydrated. Mile 25, I can almost see the finish line, and I've never wanted to quit something so badly in my life. I finally get up to the finish line. I ran every step of it, across the finish line. I've been running for 3 hours and 59 minutes, almost 30 minutes short of my goal. And coming across the line, my legs were hurting, but I felt like I was okay. And as I crossed that finish line and I stopped running, instantly my legs just contracted. And I'm not sure what happened, but we finished at Titan Stadium. And Titan Stadium all of a sudden turned upside down. And I remember the world started spinning. And then I remember this little lady about half my size just tackles me and like bear hugs me. And I was like falling to one side, and another lady grabs her, and we're kind of doing this little dance up there, and I could not figure out what was wrong with me. And she starts saying, "You need to go to the medical tent, the medical tent." So she takes me over to the medical tent, sits me down inside of there. They start giving me salt, water, and giving me ice and all this stuff they're going through. And I remember sitting there going, "I can't believe that I feel this way. What happened?" I was in that medical tent for 20 minutes before I was able to stand up and walk again. And every step was just pain after that. Now, I tell you that story to make you think about this. It amazes me how powerful our minds really are. Our minds are so much more powerful than our bodies. I was surprised that day that my mind was able to push my body further than it could go. My mind pushed my body to a point where it just gave up and wanted to pass out and just check out for a while. Our minds are such a powerful, powerful tool. If we only take the time to strengthen them, it'd be amazing what we might be able to accomplish for Jesus Christ. Paul encouraged us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 to strengthen our minds. And he tells us, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he goes on and says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If our minds are strong, then we can accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. The third type of strength is strength of the soul. And I know I turned these out of order, but I did it for a reason. Strength of the soul. I want to say this one for the last one here, the third one, because I think it is so, so important. The strength of the soul. As Paul says in the passage that we just talked about, Romans chapter 12, he talks about that transformation that's to take place. That transformation I think he's talking about is a transformation of the soul. It's learning to line up our hearts with our minds and allowing that to graft into our souls. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Whatever we're taking into our hearts, into our minds, ultimately affects our souls. Let me say that again. Whatever we take into our hearts, into our minds, ultimately affects our souls. So here's what's tricky to me about strengthening our souls. This has probably been one of my greatest struggles in life, trying to figure out how to strengthen my soul. And that is, we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot do it alone. To strengthen our souls takes help. Just as I thought that I was going to lift 245 pounds that day, it didn't happen. And a lot of times we think we can strengthen our souls by ourselves, and it doesn't happen. Just as it took some help from above that day in the form of Jill, we need help from above in the form of our Savior to help us strengthen our souls. I love to listen to Christian music. Christian music just always been something that I've enjoyed. There was a song released, and I'm not sure when it was released, but it hadn't been too long ago, by Matthew West. And the song's called Strong Enough. And the first time I heard this song, it really provoked a lot of thought in my mind. And especially whenever we started talking about this topic, I just instantly thought of this song, pertaining to the fact that we need help to strengthen our souls. I've got the lyrics up on the PowerPoint if you want to follow along. And I will tell you this, I tell my wife, I love this song and I listen to it a lot. It's hard to read the lyrics to a song when you're used to hearing it. So I'm going to try not to break out in song and just read them, okay? You must think I'm strong to give me what I'm going through. Well, forgive me. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But this looks like more than I can do on my own. I know I'm not strong enough to be everything that I'm supposed to be. So I give up. I'm not strong enough. Hands of mercy, won't you cover me? Lord, right now I'm asking you to be strong enough for the both of us. Well, maybe that's the point. To reach the point of giving up. Because when I'm finally at rock bottom, well, that's when I start looking up and reaching out. I know I'm not strong enough to be everything that I'm supposed to be. So I give up. I'm not strong enough. Hands of mercy, won't you cover me? Lord, right now I'm asking you to be strong enough. Because I'm broken, down to nothing, but I'm still holding on to the one thing. You are God, and you are strong when I am weak. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and I don't have to be strong enough. I love that song because it paints the perfect picture of how we ourselves are not strong enough to do anything apart from our Lord and Savior. And I believe as Christians, this is one of our greatest challenges, is to admit to ourselves that we are not strong enough. I know for all of us manly men in here, we don't want to admit our weaknesses. We don't want to admit that there are things in life that we can't do alone, that we simply need help on. That's just a tough thing for us to admit sometimes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to flip your Bibles open there with me, I just want to read a few verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to help further illustrate this. I love this passage because Paul paints this perfect picture of how much we need the Lord in our lives to help us, to strengthen our souls. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to the paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except for my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." If you really want to love the Lord your God with all of your strength, you must first realize that your strength comes from Him. Your strength comes from Him. His power is made perfect in our weakness. We're the strongest in our lives when we find ourselves down on our knees looking up to Him saying, "Lord, we need Your help. I cannot do this alone." When I was at Lipscomb, I'll kind of give you a little bit of history here. Andrew and I were kind of had a moment about this the other night. When I went to Lipscomb, I was a Bible major. And I was surrounded by all these other Bible majors, and taking all these classes, these Bible classes. I did not grow up in the church. The first time I ever stepped foot into a church building, I was almost 15 years old. And I proved that point to Andrew, and he was singing all these VBS songs, and I had no idea what they were. And I said, "I didn't get to go to VBS as a kid. I don't know these songs." So I didn't get to get in on some of that knowledge you learn when you're in the youth group or all those Bible classes you go to as a child. My daughter at 4 years old knows more about the Bible now than I did when I was 14 years old. So I go to Lipscomb as a Bible major, and I'm singing all these classes. And it did not take me long to realize how far behind I was. I mean, these kids in these classes, I mean, just were, I was amazed at their Bible knowledge. The professor of this one class that I'm thinking of, I remember when he walked in the first day, he handed out the textbook, and when I flipped it over, his picture was on the back. He wrote the textbook, and I thought, "Well, this ought to be good, I'm going to have to actually read this." He wrote the textbook. So sitting through all these classes, I mean, it didn't take me long before I started to become very intimidated. Very intimidated. I realized that I was not of the caliber of some of these people in there. And so sitting in class, when they were having this little round table discussion, I was not typically one for comments. So I didn't say a whole lot in class. But the professor at the end of the class, he just asked, he says, "Anybody have any comments they want to make today?" And before I even realized what I had done, I just blurted out. I said, "You know, I don't know that I want to be a minister anymore." And, you know, that obviously drew some attention. He said, "Well, why is that?" And I said, "Well, being in these classes, I've come to realize something." I said, "I've come to realize that I'm not good enough to be a minister. I'm not smart enough to go and be a minister. I don't have enough faith to go and be a minister." I said, "There's all these things I'm starting to realize that I'm just not good enough to do it." I'm not sure what response I was hoping to get from him, but it was not the response that he gave me. As I said the phrase, "I don't think I'm good enough to do it," he smiled and he said, "You know what? You're right. You're not. You're not." That baffled me. Because he said, "That's okay." He said, "It took me a long time to realize that at the point we realize that we're not good enough. It's the point that we realize that we're not strong enough. The point that we realize how weak we really are, that is when Christ's power is made perfect in us. That is when we're at our strongest." It amazed me to start to think about the weaker that I realize that I am, how Christ is able to use me. I stand amazed so often just to think about how God has been able to use someone like me with the past that I have and the flaws that I have and all the shortcomings to try to spread His Word. And that He can use any one of us regardless of the flaws that we have in our lives. The trick to that is, though, is for us to learn how to get out of our own way. For us to learn how weak that we truly are at times and how much we need Him in our lives to allow Him to work through us in those times. I think it was Andrew again on Sunday. I think so. I can't remember. I've heard so many sermons the last week. I'm not sure who mentioned it. But it talked about Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and how oftentimes that we seem to misquote this verse, and how many times that we seem to, I guess, the kids that quote this verse today in the way that's used. I put Tebow Nation up on the PowerPoint because I think Tim Tebow kind of helped make this verse very, very popular. If anybody ever watched football, you know, when he was a Florida Gator, he would, you know, wear his eye black, and he put Philippians 4:13 on there. And I'm sure that there were like junior pro and high school football players everywhere walking around quoting Philippians 4:13 as they were in the locker room flexing their muscles and saying, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I think in this passage there's something that we can really gain out of if we look at it in context and really see what Paul is saying when he talks about this. Look with me if you will, in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, Paul's talking about contentment in this passage. And he's saying, I've had plenty and I've had next to nothing. You know, I've had food and I've been hungry. And the amazing thing about it is he started to realize as this goes on, as he's talking about this passage, that it's when he's had nothing, that when he's had no food, when he's been hungry, is the time where he's realized that he can do anything through Christ who strengthens him. That his strength comes from Christ whenever he is weak. And that passage amazes me to think about that. In order to be strong, we must first learn how to be weak. I want to close tonight with just a question. And knowing that our strength comes from above and all the things that we've talked about, just very simply, how exactly do we love the Lord our God with all of our strength? I don't believe personally it's a coincidence that Christ said the four things, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. I don't think it was a coincidence that He put strength on the end. Because I think when I read through that, I see strength. I sort of think strength more or less sums all that up. It just wraps it all up perfectly. And as I've thought about this for the last several weeks, this is a thought that continues to come to my mind. I'll paint a picture for you. Let's say, for instance, that you go to the movies and that you take your child with you to the movies. And after the movie's over, you go out back and you find yourself in the parking lot. No one's around. It's just you and your child. And three men approach you and decide that they want to rob you. They want to take your wallet, your car. As if that's not enough, at the last second, they grab your child. What would you do? We don't want to think about that. And I'm not sure what you would do, but I know what I would do. I would fight. I would fight with everything that I had for as long as I could, as hard as I could, until I had nothing left in my body, till there was no breath left in me to try and to protect my child. I would fight with all of my strength. All of my strength. Heart, soul, mind. Everything that I had. When we talk about loving the Lord our God with all of our strength, I think about giving Him everything that we have. To be able to love God with all of our strength means that we're constantly nurturing our hearts, our souls, and our minds. We do this through prayer, through worship, through fellowship, through evangelism, the study of His Word. We do this by building a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 is a passage that if you hang around the youth program much in the next several weeks or months, you'll probably hear me say this, talk about this passage until you're sick of hearing about it. I love John chapter 10. It's where Jesus talks about the relationship that He has with the sheep. And I think in this passage we can learn a lot about relationships, not just with our Savior, but with each other. In this passage, Jesus talks about, He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And He says, I have other sheep that are not of this flock, But they will know my voice and they will come to me. They will know my voice. So think about this. Before cell phones and before caller ID and all those things, you ever have somebody that would call you and you'd say hello and they say, "Hey, how's it going?" And you just knew who it was. Or did you ever have people call do that and you had no idea who it was and you felt bad because you didn't want to ask because you thought you should know? You know, caller ID has done away with all that. But those people whose voice that you knew, how did you know their voice? When they called, how did you just know their voice? Odds are you knew their voice because you had regular conversations with them. You had a relationship with them, a close relationship. And by them calling you, you just knew who it was. When I think about Jesus talking about how His sheep know His voice, I think about that close, intimate relationship that He wants us to have with Him, to the point where we know His voice. I love, love, love that imagery. Christianity, having a relationship with Jesus, is something that's not a hobby. It's not like fishing or golf. It's something that we squeeze in the afternoon when we get a chance, or we just see if we've got time after work to sit down and pray, or time to maybe study here. We're just not going to fit that in today because of time. It's that transformation. It's a lifestyle. It's giving Him all that we are and all that we have. I want to just close tonight with one last illustration about that close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Thinking about strength, I can't help but think about Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator. You know, you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, and just over the years, he's been known for muscle, and just, you know, every movie you ever see, he's always the big guy who's strong and does all these things. Years and years ago, he came out with a book. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger, before he was a movie star, he was a bodybuilder. He was Mr. Olympian so many years. I think he held the record for a long time of winning the most of those in bodybuilding. Years ago, he came out with a book, and it was called The Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. One of the best ever books on that subject of trying to build muscle, being a bodybuilder. Now let's just say, for instance, that after church tonight, I see Bobby Bishop, so I'm going to pick on Bobby Bishop. I go and I give Bobby this book. And I say, "Bobby, you want to put on some muscle, you want to be a big bodybuilder, I want you to take this book home, this is going to do it for you." Well, 6 or 8 months down the road, I see Bobby again, and he looks the same. And I say, "Bobby, I gave you that book, what's going on? I don't understand why you're not just, you know, busting out of your shirt by now with all the muscle you've put on." And he says, "Chris, I don't understand it. I've taken this book home. I've read it cover to cover about 20 times. In fact, I took my highlighter out and I started highlighting every page in there. I mean, just exercises that were going to be good. I even took it one step further. There are little motivational sayings in the column. And so I started memorizing those little sayings so that I could just tell myself that throughout the day. And after all that work I've done, I've not built any muscle whatsoever." You see where I'm going with this. At some point, that's not enough. At some point, you actually have to start doing what that book says. Performing the exercises. Putting in the time. Doing the hard work. So that you can start to do what that book's intention is. Our Bibles are the same way. We can read them every single day. We can highlight them until they're just painted yellow. We can memorize verses, but until we start to do what the Bible says, it's not going to do us a whole lot of good. In order to build that close, intimate relationship with Jesus, we need to spend time in study, but move beyond that. Do what James 1:22 says, not simply be hearers of the Word, but become doers of the Word. By obeying those commandments, we start to build that relationship with Jesus that He so wants us to have. If you want to love the Lord your God with all of your strength, realize that you cannot do it alone, that your strength lies in your weakness. And if you want to love the Lord your God with all of your strength, nurture your heart, nurture your soul, nurture your mind by living in a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis so that your whole world revolves around the relationship you have with Him. I'm not sure where you're at in your life right now, and I'm not sure exactly what all is going on in your life. But wherever you're at, I hope and I pray that you're loving the Lord with everything that you have each and every day. If you need the prayers of the church tonight, if you want us to help you in any way to become closer to our Savior, please allow us a chance to do that. If you're not loving the Lord your God with everything that you have because you have not yet accepted Him in baptism, we want to help you do that as well. If there's a need whatsoever, please let us know that by coming forward as we stand and sing to encourage each other.